الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praises due to Allah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. أما بعد, as to what follows, alaykum as-salam, we continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya li Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh, li Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and the Sharh of Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. And we have stopped last week at the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, صراط الذين أنعم الله عليهم, the path of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon. هي كقوله تعالى اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. This is similar to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom You have bestowed Your favors upon. This is in the Fatiha, of course. فمن هم الذين أنعم الله عليهم, فمن هم الذين أنعم الله عليهم, فسرها تعالى بقوله, so who are those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon? The answer is given by Allah Azza wa Jal, as we mentioned in many occasions before in Surah An-Nisa, verse 69. You must memorize this for da'wah purposes. You must get familiar with this one, because this verse explains the other one, and this is very crucial to know. When you speak about, if someone is to ask you, who are those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon? It's a general verse, unless you have been given a definition which specifies it. So this is the definition specified by Allah, and the interesting part about it is the beginning of it. And this is why this is relevant to da'wah. Whether you're given da'wah to non-Muslims, 69, or you're given da'wah to Muslims who are not practicing very well, huh? You tell them Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah An-Nisa, woman, verse 69, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, wa man yuti' Allah wa rasul fa ulaika ma'a alladhina an'ama Allah alayhim min an-nabiyyin was-siddiqin wash-shuhada'i was-salihin wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa. فَهَؤُلَاءِ أَرْبَعَةُ أَصْنَافٍ. This verse says in Surah An-Nisa, and whomever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then verily whomever does that, he will be among those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon, from the prophets and the truthful ones and the martyrs slash scholars and the righteous. So you tell the Muslim who's not practicing, who's off the deen, has some shortcomings. All of us have shortcomings, of course, but some are يعني, more than others. For those who are not really يعني, he has issue with the salah, or he does the salah but he doesn't do it very well, or he's not fulfilling his obligations in life and what have you, you tell him, ya akhi, every day in the Fatiha you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to the straight path, the path of those whom Allah bestowed His favors upon. You know who they are? Then you enumerate these four for him. Then you tell him, but who Allah said, how can you attain that? Whomever obeys Allah and His Messenger. So then this becomes the point of emphasis in the da'wah. Where are we from obeying Allah and His Messenger? So how come the Prophet ﷺ tells you to do this and you don't do it? And Allah commands you to do this and you don't do it. If you don't, then you are disqualified. Then your recitation of the Fatiha is in vain. Every day you read it 17 times, assuming you only pray the obligatory prayers, you're not doing any nawafil, 17 times you say it, but it's not giving you any outcome, any you know, feedback, because there's lack of implementation. This is how we qualify ourselves with these whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ, whomever obeys Allah and His Messenger. So this is relevant. So then the Shaykh breaks it down. فَهَؤُلَاءِ أَرْبَعَةُ أَصْنَافٍ, these are four kinds. نَبِيُّون, صِدِّقُون, شهداء, صالحين. أولا, the first, النبيون, the prophets. وهم كل من أوحى الله إليهم ونبأهم. They are whomever or anyone whom Allah has revealed or sent revelation to, let me be more specific, ونبأهم, and gave him some news. نبأ عما يتساءلون عن النبأ العظيم. Great news. نبأ is news. So whomever, not necessarily glad news. It may be نبأ, it may be other. يعني the meaning is general. Depend on what comes with it. That gives you more, the context will show you whether it's good or bad. But نبأ is generally news. So anyone who receives revelation from Allah Jalla wa'ala, then he is considered a نبي. This is important definition as well. فهو داخل في هذه الآية. Now, فيشمل الرسل, this includes the messengers. لأن كل رسول نبي. Every messenger is a prophet. Pay attention. وليس كل نبي رسول. But not every prophet is a messenger. Every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. Let's use some other example. Every baby has a father, but not every baby is a father. No. Every baby has a father, but not every baby is a father. Yeah, I mean, you not baby. Every young man has a father, but not every young man is a father. You see? But if you're born, then you must have a father, obviously. What we're saying is, every prophet, not every messenger, every messenger is a prophet. Because you cannot be given a message unless you have received revelation. But you may be given revelation without being a messenger, without being sent to anyone. This is really the fine line here. We'll see, طيب. وَلَيْسَ كُلْ نَبِيَّ رَسُولًا وَعَلَى هَذَا فَيَكُونُ النَّبِيُّونَ شَامِلًا لِلرُّسُلِ عليكم السلام للرسل أولي العزم وغيرهم. So then when Allah says النبيون فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين, the prophets, that includes the messengers and those of the stronghold among the messengers. Like who are the five أولي العزم? Well, let's begin in the chronological order. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Muhammad. These are the five. You must know these. They were mentioned all together in two occasions in the Quran. These are the يعني أولو العزم, those who had the strength and the Allah gave them extra power and patience versus or other prophets and messengers. Allahu A'lam. Ayyub suffered a lot. Ayyub alayhi salam suffered a lot. We're not going to say suffered, but these were given special qualities. Ulul Azm, the stronghold. Yani they were firm and they were given a message, and you know they had great nations. Yani they had certain characteristics which may not be available with others. A prophet will come on the day of judgment, he will have no one with him. And another one will come with a person, another one will come with two people. But Musa alayhi salam will come with a big nation. So much so the Prophet salam thought it was his nation. Then they were told them, this is Musa alayhi salam, this is the nation of Musa. So these brothers will come, يعني, each one of them is given something. So these are the five. So when Allah says مع النبيين, that includes all of them. All of the messengers, including أولو العزم, from among the messengers. طيب. وشاملا أيضا للنبيين الذين لم يرسلوا. This also includes the prophets which were not sent. No, they were not sent in what sense? Meaning they did not have a new law in which they were obligated to deliver it to the people. For instance, we had many of the prophets of the children of Israel يعني run their government, if I may say, or their rulership by the commandments and the law of the Torah. He's a prophet. He received revelation, but he was not given a new law in which he was sent, he was asked to send to the people. Rather, he will come to reaffirm, reconfirm, re-establish something that is already present. See the difference now between a prophet and a messenger? Whereas a messenger receives a new law and he is commanded to go out to the people and inform them about it. So he becomes a messenger. Whereas anyone who receives a revelation from Allah is a prophet. He may be going according to an already existing law. He doesn't have to be given a new one, and he may not be commanded to go out to the people. Rather, he come to a tribe. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ. What is the Surah Yasin? وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا الْقَرْيَةِ One at a time.
What was it?
لا سورة ياسين at the top of the second page. واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذا أرسلنا إليهم. لا this is before يا شيخ.
واضرب لنا مثلا أصحاب القرية.
لا واضرب لنا واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث. إيه اللهم استعان اللهم استعان. We're looking and strike for them the example of the town or the village. Where we sent two messengers for them. So then they did the two prophets for them. They denied them. Then we reconfirmed reinforce barakallahu fik. Reinforce them with a third. Tayyib. So basically at times more than one prophet or messenger was among the people. Not everyone was coming with a new law, but they were judging by the same law. This is the difference between a prophet and a messenger. Reinforcement. Barakallahu fik. That was the word I was looking for. Tayyib. So this is the first. وَهَوْلَا أَعْلَى أَصْنَافِ الْخَلْقِ. The prophets and the messengers, these are the best, the elite among mankind. Everybody else is below. ثَانِيًا الصَّدِّقُونَ. Secondly, الصَّدِّقُونَ. The Shaykh will translate it. جَمْعُ صَدِّيق عَلَى وَزِن فَعِيل. صيغة مبالغة. It is basically for abundance or exaggeration. The nature of the Arabic word صديق, from the one who does صدق a lot. Okay. أي فمن هو الصديق؟ أحسن ما يفسر به الصديق قوله تعالى والذي جاء بالصدق وصدق به. He said the best definition given to صديق is the one given by Allah عز وجل, which is and the one who brings the truth and then he believes in it. He brings the truth and then he believes in it. We'll see what that means. وقال تعالى والذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله أولئك هم الصديقون. And whoever, those who believe in Allah and His messengers, then verily those are the truthful ones. الصديقون. فمن حقق الإيمان ولا يتم تحقيق الإيمان إلا بالصدق والتصديق فهو صديق. So whomever establishes faith. And now we know Iman could be complete and it could be incomplete. You could have, we all have, you know, we may have deficiency in our iman. For instance, the many narrations from the Prophet ﷺ, none of you shall believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Does that mean that you are kafir? That's an important question. The hadith says, none of you shall believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. You have a nice shirt. You will not really believe until you are willing to take it off and put it on him because you love it. If you don't have this quality, the hadith says, you do not believe. What do we say? This is aqidah, man. This is aqidah. We must know these things. Huh? We tell a person, you're a kafir, man? You give him the shirt or you're a kafir?
You don't get full benefit of this sadaqah, man.
No, that's not what the hadith says. That's not what the wording of the hadith.
That you may say there's decrease in
the iman. The iman may be minimal. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah ahlan tafaddal. This is to negate perfection of iman. Meaning your iman is not perfect. You have iman, but aywa, deficient. Not 100%. It's running low.
Lower degree.
Yeah, lower degree. However you want to say it. The idea is this is not the perfect iman. It doesn't mean that it is negating iman altogether, because we know that iman is to believe in Allah and His angels and His books and messengers and the last day and preordainment. If you believe in that and you don't have any major issues, you are a mu'min. Now you may be deficient in your iman because of the sins that we may commit and what have you. That does not take you outside of Islam or make you a disbeliever. It just indicates that you do not have the perfect iman. So whomever has this quality and other qualities in other narrations is an indication that this person's iman is complete. Now why am I saying this? Because as-siddiq is the one who has that. Is the person whose iman is so strong that he doesn't have this deficiency. This is why Abu Bakr as-siddiq radiallahu anhu arda, when the time came, he came in and he donated all of his money to the Prophet. He told him, what did you leave for your family? He said, I left for them Allah and His Messenger. That if you don't believe, I'm like, come on man. He'd be saying, at least I should keep a few dirhams, dinar, some money for the children, man. They gotta eat tomorrow, I got this. Yeah, and you go donate some money, but you won't just put all your money unless you trust in Allah. you know that Allah will sustain you without a doubt. Now, we may know this, but sometimes when your implementation comes, you know, we don't do it. That's an indication that iman is not there. As-Siddiq is someone who doesn't have these problems. This is why it's second after the prophets. Right after the prophets is As-Siddiq, a person who doesn't play around. He believes and he acts according to his knowledge, according to his iman. So all of these qualities which we may have deficiency in, then, you know, they don't have. For example, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whomever believes in Allah and the last day, let him say something good or remain silent. Now we know this, but how often do we run our mouths with things that we're not supposed to say? يعني الله المستعان. قرقر كثير, as they say, huh? I learned this over here. You know, so if we talk too much, although if we really believed in Allah on the last day, we will be quiet, unless we're saying something good. We believe in Allah on the last day, but our belief also is deficient. Because if you really believe, then you know you'll be questioned, you'll be asked, you'll be held accountable for every word you'll be saying, then you'll take it easy. As one of the Salaf, one of the righteous predecessors, may Allah be pleased with them, he said, if you were to ask me, how many words I said between the two Fridays, I will tell you. The whole week, he knows how many words he said, and he's ready. Any question, anything he said, he has an answer for why he said it, the reasons behind it, the whole nine yards. Right now, if we were just for half an hour, write down what we say, you need a big notebooks, man. You fill up this room in one day, just talking about Allah knows what. Anyways, Allah musta'an, may Allah yasna'an. It's funny, but it's sad. Yani, I'm trying to remind myself and you in an indirect way that we need to take it easy. I'm speaking to myself first. So Allah al-musta'an. Tayyib, Siddiqun are those who don't have these issues. Their iman is complete. And the Shaykh will strike some examples. First, as-sidqu fil aqidah, truthfulness in the belief system, in the creed. And this is what we're learning today. Alhamdulillah. So may Allah make us among them. What is intended here though is by bil-ikhlas, by sincerity. وَهُوَ أَصْعَبُ مَا يَكُونُ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ. And it is the most difficult thing upon the individual. And this is, anyone who's involved in da'wah knows that. The worst, يعني, the most difficult confrontation you may have is with yourself. Are you doing this for the sake of Allah? Or for the sake of the people? Or for the sake of fame? Or for the sake of position? Or what have you? A number of money sometimes. يعني the shaitan has many you know, nets to hunt you with, set up. And unless يعني we go straight on the path, we will go astray. So a personal siddiq doesn't have this issue. And this is the most difficult. حتى قال بعض الصلف رحمه الله, one of the righteous predecessors, may Allah mercy on him, said, ما جاهدت نفسي على شيء مجاهدتها أو مجاهدتها على الإخلاص. I did not struggle with myself in anything. Yani, that is so difficult, like the struggle that I have with sincerity. Yani, he struggles with himself all the time. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ الصِّدْقِ فِي الْمَقْصَدِ. We must be truthful in our intent. وَهُوَ الْعَقِيدَةِ. And this is the creed. وَالْإِخْلَاصُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. And that sincerity or that truthfulness should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The exalted. Secondly, الصِّدْقُ فِي الْمَقَالِ. Truthfulness and statement. So the first one is الصِّدْقُ فِي الْعَقِيدَةِ, which is sincerity. The second is الصِّدْقُ فِي الْمَقَالِ, truthfulness in speech. لَا يَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا طَابَقَ الْوَاقِعِ. He does not say anything except that it is in accordance with the reality. يعني no going zigzag. يعني this is the situation, then you say it as it is. You know, you did something wrong, you come say, I did this wrong. Your boss catches you doing something, I'm the one who broke it, I thought that I was doing this. You don't try to, you know, beat around the bush, as they say. I'm not speaking about bush, I'm speaking about bush, the bush of the tree. Yeah, it's none of my business, man. So anywho, so you don't do that there. Truthfulness in the speech. سَوَاءٌ عَلَى نَفْسِي أَوْ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ. Whether against yourself or against others. فَلَا بُدَّ عَفْوًا فَهُوَ قَائِمٌ بِالْقِسْطِ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَعَلَى غَيْرِهِ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَأُخْتِهِ وَغَيْرِهِ. So he is establishing truthfulness in speech against himself, against others, his father, his mother, his brother and his sister, anyone, it doesn't matter. You know, يعني the kinship or the family ties does not make this person go against the truth in order to kind of favor them because of the blood ties. He will say the truth even against his own family members. Thirdly, الصدق في الأفعال. To be truthful in actions. وهي أن تكون أفعاله مطابقة لما جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. That his actions are in agreement with that which the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم brought. ومن صدق ومن صدق الأفعال أن تكون نابغة عن إخلاص. And among truthfulness in action is that it should be based on sincerity. فإن لم تكن نابعا عن إخلاص لم تكن صادقة. If it is not based on sincerity, it is not truthful. لأن فعله يخالف قوله. Because his action opposes his statement. His action opposes his statement. So, فالصديق إذن من صدق في معتقده وإخلاصه وإرادته وفي مقاله وفي أفعاله. So then the truthful one is the one who is truthful in his belief system, in his sincerity, in his intent, in his statement, and in his actions. This is the Siddiq. It's a big deal. وَأَفْضَلُ الصِّدِّقِينَ عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ أَبُو بَكْرِ الصِّدِّيقِ. And the best, the most ultimate Siddiq among all is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. لِأَنَّ أَفْضَلِ الْأُمَّمْ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ. Why? Because the best of nations is the nation of Islam. Not the Nation of Islam in America. There's another group called Nation of Islam. I mean, the best of nations is the Muslim nation, you know, our nation. وَأَفْضَلْ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيَّهَا أَبُو بَكْرِ الصَّدِيقِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And the best of this nation, after the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is who? Ali?
Abu Bakr al-Siddiq.
Ah. If you have any Shia over here, there's the door. There's the door, man. We don't want none of this stuff over here. Because these people are wicked, man. They will come and tell you, no, Abu Bakr is a kafir, Umar is a kafir, Uthman is a kafir, Ali.
Bas.
Lakan, bas. كل الصحابة كفار except 6 or 7. They have him listed. Everybody else, they say apostated after the Prophet ﷺ. يعني only if you are as dumb as this doorbell, you would really believe so. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose this ummah and these companions of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ for this deen to be until the day of judgment, then his own companions, all of them will turn away from the deen. Yani something ajeeb. But this is among their belief systems. This is not just the only thing. If this was the only problem, this is sufficient. But this is one of many deviant understandings they have of the deen, so much so that the majority of the scholars don't consider them among the Muslims. Just like the Ahmadiyya. A person telling you, I received revelation from Allah. This Sada Ahmed Qadiani, whatever his name was, Ghulam. How you going? Man, that meant مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَقَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Muhammad was not the father of any of you men, but he was the messenger of Allah and the seal of all prophets. Then you're going to have a guy come and tell you that I'm a prophet. يعني you are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying the truth in the Quran. Then you're no longer a Muslim. And this is one of the many things that they believe. They believe in many different things. You just read about them. I got an email from one recently translating khutbah of one of their imams, and very, very daring and rude. I don't know how he got the email address of the JDC, you know, and different groups, Yahoo groups, and he sent this translation of the khutbah of one of their imams and whatever about how this person was receiving revelation from Allah and how he's protected. His name is Clark Bill or some crazy stuff, and he's trying to propagate. He said, if you want to learn about more about Ahmadiyya, visit this link. And he named himself Dean Shaheed, a humble servant of the Ahmadiyya movement. Yeah, this is recent right now. And you know, so these people are also trying to go be out there and propagate. If you go and look them up, they got nothing to do with Islam. There was actually more than one gathering for the Muslim scholars where they made a flat out fatwa. These people do not belong to Islam in any way, shape or form. So there are many those who claim to be part of Muslims, but you know, they're far away. Anyways, the best after the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And because of that, he is better than the disciples of Jesus radiallahu anhu, and better than the companions of Moses. He's better than all of them. Because this ummah is better, and he's the companion of the best, so it becomes better than the rest. This is just yani math, or however you explain it. وَالصِّدِّقِيَّ مَرْتَبَةٌ تَكُونُ لِلرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ. But here's a special thing. Prophethood is only for men. Never been a woman. No woman prophet. Whereas Siddiq could be for a woman. Right? Who do we know? Aisha. Who else? Who else was a Siddiqa? I don't know of a narration that. There's something in the Quran.
But she was the one.
Maryam. Wa ummuhu Siddiqa. Hello, Siddiqa. Come on, guys. So Siddiqiyya is for men and women. قال الله تعالى في عيسى بن مريم, Allah said about Isa, the son of Mary, وأمه صديقة, and his mother is a صديقة. Is a صديقة. ويقال الصديقة بنت الصديق عائشة رضي الله عنها, والله تعالى يمن على من يشاء من عباده. And we say Aisha, the صديقة, the daughter of the صديق. May Allah be pleased with her and her father. And Allah bestows His favors upon whomever He wills. And He chose them to be صديقين, alhamdulillah. Thirdly, now we dealt with the prophets. الصديقون أو الصديقين now الشهداء. أما الشهداء فقيل هم الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله. It was said there are those who were killed in the cause of Allah. Those who were killed or martyrs as we know them in English. لقوله, because of the statement of Allah, وليعلم الله الذين آمنوا ويتخذ منكم شهداء. And for Allah to know who are believers among you and to take from among you شهداء, martyrs. This is in the context of the battle and the fights and whatever during that time. And this is in Al Imran, verse 140. Waqil, and the other definition of shuhada, al ulama, the scholars. لقوله تعالى, this is because of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم. Allah bears witness that there is no deity worthy of worship but Him. So do the angels and those who were given knowledge. Ulul ilm, those who were given knowledge. What was the first word used? Shahida. Shahid Allah, Allah bears witness. So then, shuhada, the plural of shahida, or a shaheed, is shuhada. So all of the scholars become shuhada. So they are included in this. Hey, they are included in this. فجعل أهل العلم شاهدين بما شهد الله لنفسه. So Allah made the people of knowledge bearing witness to that which Allah bears witness to Himself عز وجل. ولأن العلماء يشهدون للرسل بالبلاغ وعلى الأمة بالتبليغ. And because the scholars are the ones who bear witness to the messengers that they have delivered the message and that the ummah has received the message, because they are the link. العلماء ورثة الأنبياء. The scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. They are the link between the prophets and the ummah, the common people. They are that link. So they bear witness that the message was delivered, and they bear witness that the message was delivered to the other side. So they are in between. وَلَوْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ, and if someone was to say, which is one of the ways we could look at it, الْآيَةُ عَامَّةٌ, the verse is general. لِمَنْ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلِلْعُلَمَاءِ, it includes both those who were killed in the cause of Allah, like the martyrs and the scholars. لأن الله صالح الوجهين, because the term includes both, it's applicable to both. ولا يتنافيان, and they do not oppose one another. There's no contradiction, and this is one of the principles in tafsir. Principles in tafsir, if you read this, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir or others, that sometimes a verse or the word may carry more than one meaning, because the Quran is vast. Quranun majid, the Quran is vast, it's rich. So if the verse or the word may carry more than one meaning and there's no contradiction between them, then you may accept all meanings. You may interpret it this way and that way, because you don't want to limit it when you have no reason to limit it, when it encompass more meanings. You cannot do that if they contradict one another. Like ثلاثة قروء, that the woman should, after the divorce, should remain for 3 قروء. The scholars differ about quru. Is it a hayd? Is it a menstrual cycle? Or is it tahara from hayd? Or purification from menstrual cycle? The word, the scholars differ in the interpretation of this. Now you cannot say, wallah, we can carry both meaning, because the meanings contradict. The word itself may carry a different meaning. They do not go one with in harmony. Okay. Whereas this one, shuhada, contains both. There's no contradiction between being a martyr and a scholar, so you carry it with both. This applies and that applies. So we will not limit the Quran without any evidence for doing so. Rather, we keep the meaning vast. This is I've heard this from Shaykh bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah in his tafsir of Juz al-Amma. طيب. فيكون شامل الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله وللعلماء الذين شهدوا لله بالوحدانية وشهدوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالبلاغ وشهدوا على الأمة بأنها بلغت. So then the meaning encompasses those who were killed in the cause of Allah and the scholars who bear witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His oneness, and they bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered the message, and they bear witness that their ummah has received the message. So the meaning, the word, now we're dealing with what verse? وَمَا يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ. We're dealing with this word, الشُّهَدَاء, that it includes both the martyrs and the scholars. And you cannot tell someone, no, it's only the martyrs, not the scholars. Say, you cannot limit the Quran because it's included. And you cannot say only the scholars, not the martyrs, because it's also included. Rather, you say it includes both. This is the qa'idah and tafsir. أَمَّا الصَّالِحُونَ, as for the last category, may Allah make us at least among those. فَأَنَّهُ يَشْمَلْ كُلُّ أَنْوَاعِ أَوْ يَشْمَلْ كُلَّ أَنْوَاعِ الثَّلَاثَ السَّابِقَ وَمَنْ دُونِهِمْ فِي الْمَرْتَبَةِ. The righteous, صالحون, includes all the three that were aforementioned and those who are lesser in degree. Because obviously, as the Shaykh said, فَالْأَنْبِيَا صَالِحُونَ, the prophets are righteous. وَالصَّدِّقُونَ صَالِحُونَ, and the truthful ones are also righteous. وَالشُّهَدَاءَ صَالِحُونَ, and the martyrs and the scholars are also righteous. فَعَطْفُهَا مِنْ بَابِ عَطْفِ الْعَامَ الْخَاصِ. So they were added in the context of adding the something which is general to something that is specific. So obviously, all of the three that were mentioned earlier are also among the صالحين. But now this is for those who are lesser. Those who are lesser than them. والصالحون, who are they? هم الذين قاموا بحق الله وحق عباده. They are the ones, صالحون are the ones, this is their definition, are the ones who establish the right of Allah and the right of His servants. The right of Allah and the right of His servants. So the right of Allah is to be worshipped alone, and that He is obeyed and He is not disobeyed. He is loved and He is, you know, remembered. And all the various things that the righteous people are engaged in, and the rights of His servants, which includes everyone, from family members and from spouses and from children, everybody's rights. And you know, we denied get right.
Somebody been denied it.
Right. So everybody's rights must be given. لكن لا على المرتبة السابقة, but not like the previous level. والنبوة والصديقية والشهادة فهم دونهم في المرتبة. But they're not at the same level of those who were mentioned earlier, which are the prophets and the truthful ones and the shuhada, which is the martyrs and the scholars. They are lesser. They are lesser in level or degree. هذا الصراط الذي جاءت به الرسل هو صراط هؤلاء الأصناف الأربعة. This path, الصراط المستقيم, that the messengers have brought, is the path of those four that were mentioned right now. فغيرهم أو فغيرهم لا يمشون على ما جاءت به الرسل. So all the other ones who are not among these four do not walk upon that which the messengers walked upon. They do not. All this is in the context of the tafsir of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, about the fact that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not and cannot possibly forsake that which the messengers have brought. Remember the context of how we got here? Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah cannot possibly turn away and forsake what the messengers have brought. They go by it, you know, in great detail. They do not deviate from that whatsoever. Unlike those who will deviate from the path of the messengers, whether in terms of understanding the names and attributes of Allah, or in terms of understanding the methodology of the righteous predecessors, or the other things that will be discussed. Alhamdulillah, now we are at a, يعني, if we may say, a brand new chapter. And this is when the things get simple. What we have been going through was quite complicated. If you really want to be, and if you want to be honest with ourselves. Now the last part was even easier. Before, for those of you who didn't come before, it was hectic. For me to try to translate and for the brothers to cope with me and understand, it is difficult to, you know, deliver some of these messages due to the lack of terminologies and lack of different things. So alhamdulillah, now we're actually dwelling, now we're about to enter into the theme of the book. You know, the reason why this book was put together by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Now we will start taking the verses in the Qur'an dealing with the names and attributes of Allah one by one, and dealing with their tafsir, their understanding, how do we benefit from them, and how do we understand that name and attribute of Allah in this verse according to Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. which includes the four a'immah and those who came before and those who came after until today, those who follow the same understanding. This is where things get exciting, and this is where things inshallah will be extremely beneficial if we pay attention. We will begin with this one inshallah. وقد دخل في هذه this is the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. وقد دخل في هذه الجملة وما وصف الله به نفسه في سورة الإخلاص. And included in that sentence is whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has described Himself with in the chapter Al-Ikhlas, sincerity, one of the definitions. التي تعدل ثلث القرآن, which is equal to one third of the Quran. Surah Al-Ikhlas, قل هو الله أحد, is equal to one third of the Quran. Does that mean that if you read it three times, you say I did khatm today? Because you may get some funny guys. So I do khatm 20 times a day, ya Shaykh, wallah. I read Surah Al-Ikhlas, say no, Habibi. What is intended by that is the content in this surah is equal to one third. Because one third of the Quran is about Allah's names and attributes. And that surah is just about Allah's names and attributes. Say, when they asked the Prophet ﷺ about Allah, this ayah was revealed, this surah was revealed. So this is what is intended. It does not mean that reading it is equal to an ajr, in reward equal to reading one third of the Quran. No, no, that's a no-no. Allah is يعني, generous, but we cannot have deduced this understanding from the text يعني, or otherwise. حيث يقول, where Allah says, قل هو الله أحد, الله الصمد, لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Say it is Allah, the one who is unique. And we must, it's almost a must, we must add unique. We must add unique. You may say why? Why is it Allah? Because you don't see this in the Mus'haf. You don't see this in the interpretation of the English. Say it is Allah the one that who's unique. You don't see that. Say it is Allah the one. We have an issue with one. Because after one comes, I have one phone, you have? What's so special about the one? I have a red car, one red car, you have one red car. What's the big deal? So there's nothing special about one unless it is unique. If I have one unique phone, hey, stay off. Ma, you have whatever you have, but this is unique, Habibi. Your phone is not like my phone. Case closed. You see what I'm saying? So this is why we must add. Otherwise, if we say it is Allah the one, but yani, there may be second, third, fourth, it does not give the meaning that we understand in the Arabic language. So when you say this is for da'wah again, with the Christians, so when you say, because they will tell you that, yeah, I believe that God is one. You know, the Father is a God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is one, but they're not one God, they're three gods, they're one God. So you believe one God, I believe in one God. Say, this is not unique, man. This is what the Hindus also believe, and this is what was believed in many ancient people before. That you're not bringing anything special, making it three gods in one and trying to, you know, squeeze them in one. It doesn't work this way. What the uniqueness of God is that He doesn't have a second, He doesn't have any equals, He doesn't have anything. It's just Allah the unique, aywa. Nothing compares to Him. So this is why we must say it is Allah the one who's unique, or the one who's unique in His oneness. However you want to use it now, it doesn't matter as far as the English, but the understanding must be there. The uniqueness of the oneness of Allah is what we are trying to emphasize in this particular surah. And this was mentioned by Bilal Phillips, Dr. Bilal Phillips. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him for that. Allahu Samad, it is Allah the Absolute. This is among the definitions of a Samad. And basically it is the one whom the whole creation depends on, and He is self-sufficient. Everything in the world is relying upon Allah. From the plants, to the animals, to the human beings, to the sun and the moon, everything functions by the will of Allah, by the maintenance of Allah, by the power of Allah. Otherwise, nothing can do anything. So then Allah becomes As-Samad, in this sense. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. لَمْ يَلِدْ, He does not beget, or He does not have children. وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, and no one gave birth to Him, or He was not begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ, and He has none equal to Him, or nothing similar to Him. Again, we could use many different English words to explain what the Arabic words mean. Then the Shaykh will explain it, so we will get it from him as well, inshallah. Al-Sharh, explanation. قَوْلُهُ دَخَلَ فِي هَذِي الْجُمْلَةِ. The statement of Ibn Taymiyyah included in this sentence or in this group. يَحْتَمِلْ أَنَّهُ يُرِيدْ بِهَا قَوْلِهِ وَهُوَ قَدْ جَمَعَ فِي مَا وَصَفَ وَسَمَّ بِهِ نَفْسِهِ نفسه بين النفي والإثبات. This may be in reference to the statement that Ibn Taymiyyah said before that Allah سبحانه وتعالى had وهو قد جمع فيما وصف ويسمى به نفسه بأيوة. That Allah سبحانه وتعالى when He described Himself, He did it either by affirming or negating. Who remembers that? For the old students. Hey, ليس كمثلي شيء is what?
Negation.
أيوة. Give us affirmation.
Aywa.
So you'll find when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Himself in the Quran, it's either affirming or negating. Huh? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He did not beget, nor was He begotten. This is negating. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ affirming. Say it is Allah, the one who's unique. لَمْ يَلِدْ, He did not beget. So when Allah describes Himself, either He affirms something or He negates. He negates deficiency, and the absence of deficiency means perfection. Or He affirms a quality of perfection. You see how it works? So the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, وَدَخَلَ فِي هَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةِ may be in reference to this sentence. For those who were not here before, you're not going to know what's going on. وَيُحْتَمَلْ أَنَّهُ يُرِيدُ مَا سَبَقَ مِنْ أَنَّ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يَصِفُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَمَا وَصَفَهُ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Or it may be that he intends that the statement that he said earlier, the أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, they describe Allah with whatever Allah described Himself with Azza wa Jal, and whatever the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم described Allah with. أيًا كان, regardless of which one it is, فإن هذه السورة وما بعدها داخلة في ضمن ما سبق. This surah and the ones that will be mentioned after are included in what was mentioned before. من أن الله تعالى جمع فيما وصف وسمى به نفسه بين النفي والإثبات وأن أهل السنة يؤمنون بذلك. So both. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when describing Himself, He used affirming and negating, and that this is what Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah believe in. قوله في سورة الإخلاص. السورة, the word سورة, هي عبارة عن آيات من كتاب الله مسورة, أي منفصلة عما قبلها وعما بعدها. Why was it called سورة? This is the Sheikh bin Uthaymeen رحمه الله, an encyclopedia. This brother would do this, man, he had no book, no nothing, man. This is all here. And more than that, rahmatullah alayh. He says surah is usually a number of verses from the book of Allah. Musawwara, it's almost as if there's a bridge around it, which munfasil amma qabla, it is separated from what came before and separated from what comes after. Like the sur, it's almost like a partition, or a fence. So if I have a fence here separating between me and you, so this is called sur, this thing in the middle. So it's called the surah because it's divided from that which came before and that which came after. Is that clear? Fine. كَالْبِنَاءَ الَّذِي أَحَاطَ بِهِ السُّورِ, like a building which was surrounded by a fence. It is dividing it, it's separating that building from what the surrounding. Likewise, these ayat are separated from the other ayat with the surah. That's why it's called the surah, because as if there's a partition or a fence separating these verses from the rest. Is that clear? Some people are looking at me like this, not really. Maybe I'll have to say it in Tagalog, but I don't speak Tagalog. طيب. وقوله سورة الإخلاص, الإخلاص الشيء يعني تنقيته أو تنقيته. Surah, it's called ikhlas al-shay, being sincere in something, meaning really cleansing it or purifying it. Tunaqqi shay, يعني you take out any dirt, anything that will make it unclean. يعني التي نقيت ولم يشبها شيء, meaning that which has become pure and nothing kind of makes it otherwise. وسميت بذلك قيل لأنها تتضمن الإخلاص لله عز وجل. It was called سورة الإخلاص. It was said because it includes being sincere to Allah عز وجل. وأن من آمن بها فهو مخلص. And whomever believes in it, then he is truly a sincere individual. فتكون بمعنى مخلصة لقارئها, meaning أو مخلصة لقارئها, meaning it is a source of saving for the one who recites it. أي أن الإنسان إذا قرأها مؤمنا بها فقد أخلص لله عز وجل. Meaning a person, if he recites it while believing in it, then he has become sincere to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وقيل لأنها مخلصة بفتح اللام لأن الله تعالى أخلص لنفسه. And it was said that is called Mukhlasa with a fatha on the lamb, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it exclusive for him. Mukhlasa li nafsi, Allah made it exclusive for him because it speaks about him azza wa jal. فَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ فِيهَا شَيْئًا مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ, there was no rulings in it, no rulings. وَلَا شَيْئًا مِنَ الْأَخْبَارِ, and there was no news in it from the previous nations. بَلْ هِيَ أَخْبَارٌ خَاصَّةٌ بِاللَّهِ, rather it is news strictly about Allah. وَالْوَجْهَانِ صَحِيحَانِ وَلَا مُنَافَاةَ بَيْنَهُمَا, and both understandings are correct and there's no contradiction between them. So again, we understand the meaning of ikhlas in both ways. And the one that seems to be strong is that Allah made it strictly for him, exclusive, where nothing was mentioned but about Allah. So it becomes mukhlasa from any other thing. طيب, exclusive, made exclusive. قَوْلُهُ أَلَّتِي تَعْدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ, it's equal to one third of the Qur'an. الدليل قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه رضي الله عنهم أيعجز أحدكم أن يقرأ ثلث القرآن في ليلة. The evidence that it is one third of the Quran is the statement of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to his companions, is one of you unable to recite one third of the Quran in one night? قالوا كيف يا رسول الله, they said, how, O messenger of Allah? قال قل الله أحد الله الصمد, he said, يعني الله أحد, the Surah Al-Ikhlas. فَتَعْدِلُ ثُلُثُ الْقُرْآنِ is equal to one third of the Qur'an. Then the Shaykh will go on to elaborate on that and the things that I mentioned earlier, why it is not considered as if you read the whole Qur'an, rather why it is in content. And then he will continue to do the tafsir of the surah, or the word, the surah and the verses and the words, word per word. Something very extensive. It's recommended that we take notes, inshallah, because this is something that you may use many years from now. Even one day you decide to teach this to your children, you don't have to go look for tapes in the market, and you don't have to go search for books, you'll have it at your own convenience. And of course you may find something better than this, but this is at least to begin with. You come, you grab your child, this is what it means, you teach them the specifications of these words, so perhaps it'll be a source of benefit for them, inshallah. And we will do this bi-idhnillah azza wa jal if all of us have enough endurance in this life until next week inshallah. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyana Muhammad. Jazakum Allah khair. Page 81, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.